We're standing at the entry to the house, and this looks exactly as it did when the Curtins lived here. When John Curtin lived here, his address was in the telephone book, his phone number was in the telephone book, and they had a low picket fence out the front with a gate, and people could just open the gate, walk down the path, up to the door and ring that very bell, and a member of the family would actually come to the door.
And did that happen very often?
Yes, and John Curtin never had a bodyguard, which amazed General MacArthur and his staff when they came to Australia. He was, as you know, Allied Commander-in-Chief in the Pacific. They were amazed that he had no bodyguard, but he was very simple, and he used public transport during the war, and people could talk, his constituents could just come and talk to him. He was very accessible.
Great, shall we go inside?
Yes. I find this room very evocative because it contains, it's exactly as it was when John Curtin lived here. So these coat hooks and were where he just hung his, put his hat when he came in. And the telephone that was essential for him was just here, so he could talk to people. But of course the rest of the family could listen in on conversations. This was when he was actually at home. The house was built in 1923, just after they bought the block, and they moved in the same year. And at that time, John Curtin actually hoped that he'd have three sides of the house and with verandas, so that in the winter he could walk up and down the verandas and think about speeches and practice his speeches. And when they moved in 1923, they actually had Grandma with them as well, Elsie's mother. She'd been widowed a couple of years before, and so she came to live with the family as well. And not long after that, they had to start enclosing verandas, and so they enclosed the back veranda to make a kitchen and an extra room on the corner for Grandma. And over the years, there was a sleepout built on the corner of the front veranda for their son John. And then while he was leader of the opposition, sometime late in the 30s, the lounge room was extended forward towards the street, and it took up some of the front veranda as well. So there's very little veranda left now. He was elected in 1928 to be member for Fremantle, and he served one term in federal parliament before the Scullin government was removed from office during the Depression. And then he had a whole term at home during the Depression. And he worked here in the lounge room, in the family lounge room. He had a desk, and he took on work writing for the Westralian Worker, which was a Labor organ, and he'd come to Western Australia to edit in 1917. And so when he was out of work early in the 1930s, he actually started writing the sports page for that. And he and his son John would go to football matches, and then they'd come back and write the notes up together, and his son John, who was age 12, would sub-edit them before he sent them in. And so he did a lot of his work in this room. And they also had their radio, which they bought for the Bodyline cricket series earlier in the 30s, and that was kept in here too. And Grandma used to have this room on Sunday mornings so that she could listen to community hymn singing. The others weren't so interested, and the room was closed for Grandma to use on Sunday mornings. And you can see the fireplace there. That was the heating. Except, well, there was also the kitchen wood stove, and until that radio was bought, there were no PowerPoints in the house, so there couldn't be any heaters, and so they had to burn the wood stove and get into bed early and get warm that way.
It's only a two-bedroom house if you don't count the sleepouts.
Right. Yes, yes.
Were they never tempted to move into somewhere a bit bigger and more luxurious when he became Prime Minister?
I think Elsie considered, you know, maybe that they could have built a slightly bigger house on another block, but John didn't want to move. And so they stayed here, and they just made do by the enclosures they had in the veranda. Right outside one of the bedroom doors, they hung the Coolgardie safe, and then later on had the ice box here
right.
In this corridor, and the ice man would come once a week and put the ice in the ice box.
So they didn't even have a fridge?
They never had a fridge until after the war. And they never had a car. Elsie and John Curtin never had a car, and the garage that's in the back garden was actually built after the war. John and Elsie Curtin were modest people. They lived austerely, and they were not materially ambitious.
And how did the house come to be preserved?
The house is very much as it was, and I suppose that's what you mean, because I think you would say that even when the next generation, Elsie MacLeod and her daughter and husband were living here, and they lived here until she lived here until 1998, didn't have a very a very luxurious lifestyle either. They weren't always spending money on improvements to the house. Very little really was done to it. So we're very fortunate because the Trust has a property here that not only is a Prime Minister's former family home, but also it's a very good way of seeing how people lived then. And it's interesting for visitors for two reasons, because it's a showpiece for this sort of lifestyle.